As we're getting settled, I'd like to bring something to your attention that may be one of the most important parts of this weekend together, and that is how to practically apply, how to assimilate the messages that we have heard and bring those messages within and take them home and apply them. So, from experience with gatherings like this, the breakout session is a very important element, and the persons who have been presenters are prepared to take their topic and gather together in base different groups. So as you hear Konteya speak, and then in turn you hear Abhiram speak, and you Shivaram Maharaj of course can't be here, or Devamrita Maharaj, but the other presenters, think of the topic that you'd like to explore further. I know which ones I want to attend. And there'll be some opportunity to move around a bit. We'll have almost 3 hours. I'll say it again. As far as I'm concerned, it's one of the most important parts, besides hearing and understanding the subject matter. It's, you know, how to apply and refining the understandings and so forth and so on. So please bear in mind that that's coming this afternoon. Please consider which of the topics that presenters have presented you'd like to dive into further and become, you know, enthused to participate in that part of this event. It'll really help carry the message forward beyond the information stage.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. So just a some changes or adjustments to the schedule. You'll be tested on this at the end, so listen carefully. Everything remains the same in the morning. And then in the afternoon, after prasadam, again, is the maha cleanup. And that's at 2:30 to 3. And then we'll have, as Rompad Maharaj just mentioned, the breakout sessions will be from actually 3 to 5:30. And then we'll get together again as a group and hear, you know, some summaries or synopsis of the various breakout groups. And then there's all kinds of kirtans. I won't mention from 6 until 9 there's kirtan, and also 8. And then tomorrow morning the adjustment is that for 45 minutes from 9:30 to 10:15, Shivaram Maharaj's video part 2. And then from 11:30 to 1, there'll be questions and answers. That's an hour and a half of questions and answers, and that'll be the end of this conference. So let me introduce His Grace Konteya Prabhu. Konteya Prabhu does many services in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He's the co-director of the Ministry for Congregational Development. And he's also one of the founding members of the strategic planning team, and he oversees something called organizational development within the strategic planning endeavor. One interesting tidbit of information that maybe even people who know Konteya Prabhu don't know is that, and it applies to the... Do you know what I'm going to talk about? No, he has no idea what I'm going to say. And it has some effect on discussion about Varnashram, is that I think for 6 years he lived in a Gurukul in Mayapur and studied Shastra and did all those things that people did in Mayapur Gurukul and getting up as a brahmachari. You were a brahmachari? No kidding. Okay. And he was a teacher there as well. Yes, so he was getting up, getting all his rounds done before Mangalarti, all those amazing things that they do in the Mayapur Gurukul. Now he gets up at 6 o'clock and, you know, forget, no, he doesn't, that's not true. So, yeah, the truth hurts. So we're very, So we're very happy to have Kantaya Prabhu, who came all the way from Mayapur for this conference and just flew literally, you know, driving 4 hours to Calcutta, Calcutta, Dubai, Dubai, D.C. And so we're very happy to have him. So please welcome His Grace Kantaya Prabhu.
Not necessarily, but...
Hare Krishna. Good morning. Varnashram. Paroxysms. Parallaxis. And paradoxes. Gita Nagari, 4 September 2016. We'll start by defining these terms and how they apply to our dialogue on Varnashram. Paroxysm, dictionary definition, a sudden attack or outburst of a particular emotion or activity. Synonym, spasm, fit, attack, convulsion, etc. It's a time when we talk about Varnashram in some areas of ISKCON, we do have these effects, this phenomena. Because there is emotion. And why there is emotion? Because Varnashram is our system of politics. Politics, I don't mean in the kind of low class intrigues for personal benefit. Politics, in the Wikipedia definition, what's politics? It's the process of making uniform decisions applying to all members of a group. So we are in a social group, we make decisions, these decisions affect everyone, and so therefore definitely there are some emotions attached to this process. Furthermore, politics is the study or practice of the distribution of power and resources within a given community. Power, resources, money, manpower. What's the role of the different members of society? Whom they should listen to? Who should they report to? Who should they obey to? So definitely these are sensitive topics in any human society. What the role of women should be. Women, you may have noticed, are about half the population of the world. So what's their role in the social dialogue, in the social hierarchy? Should they vote? Maybe this is a bit obsolete as a question. Remember, yesterday we heard that the United States of America is the oldest democracy in the world. But let's remember that women have the right to vote since less than 100 years in this country. So, what's the role of the ethnic minorities? Should they have rights? Should they have same rights, similar rights? And when these rights are finally legislated, officialized, are they really applied? Or is there some sort of double standard? So, we can all go on and on in listing topics dealing with politics, how the money is managed in a society. Occupy Wall Street, for instance. Or should men and women of homosexual inclination have the right to marry, like heterosexuals? You know, in this country, the Supreme Court has decided that they should have that right. And then, of course, even more intense are the party politics, and which becomes heightened in a year like this, the year of the election of the President of the United States of America. And so, these candidates raise a lot of emotions. First of all, they're both so good, it's so hard to choose. But some people make the choice. And so you have supporters of Hillary Mataji. Perhaps she prefers to be called Prabhu. I don't know about that. And they sponsor her. They travel. They go to this big rally. They invest their time. They invest their minds. And other people prefer Buck the Donald. And even there, there's a lot of enthusiasm. Some people go stay at home, write this placard. They come, thank you, Lord Jesus, for President Trump. First of all, it may be a little early to call him president, but I wasn't aware that Lord Jesus was supporting Donald Trump. I learned something. You always learn something from the internet. Big rallies, big stadium, stands with Trump made white again. I'm not exactly sure how they plan to do that. Be by shipping you all back to India? I don't know, but... You may have heard there were clashes. Supporters of Hillary, supports of the Donald. Sometime they came to physical interaction. And of course, this is not the first time that in politics there is clashes. There are clashes. The no global movement, and all over the world there are clashes, sometimes very bloody, sometimes very, very intense. So this is these paroxysms, intense emotions related to how society should be organized. So what do we have to fight about, so to say? We have Varnashram. The scientific organization of human society in Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Letter to Uttama Shloka, 7 June 69. As individuals, there may be disagreements sometimes, but that is quite natural. So it is also natural that among thinking people, there will be differences of opinion of what Varnashram means, what's the relation between Varnashram and Bhakti Yoga, how or if the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should focus on establishing Varnashram. So it's only natural that some intensity, disagreements, and emotion will be connected to the topic. Let's move to the second idea. Parallax is the effect whereby the position or direction of an object appears to differ when viewed from different positions. We all know that we have filters. We have screens. We see things not always as things are, but through the filters, and the main filters are, of course, the three gunas. So we see and speak about things according to the modes that influence us. So, there is Varnashram in Tamas, Varnashram in Rajas, and Varnashram in Sattva. Now, I'm not going to say or share my opinions that that Maharaj presents a Varnashram vision, Tamas Guna, that Prabhu has a passionate approach, and so on and so forth. But the question is, how to decide? How to identify? It seems that there are many types of Varnashram being presented. So, we take shelter in the Bhagavad Gita. The knowledge in Sattva Guna is described by Lord Krishna as that knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all existences. Undivided in the divided is knowledge in the mode of goodness. So a very holistic, very strongly spiritually good Varnashram takes in consideration every single aspect of reality. That could be Varnashram conception in Sattva Guna. That knowledge by which a different type of living entity is seen to be dwelling in different bodies is knowledge in the mode of passion. Mode of passion tends to get locked into the externals, into the present bodies. And so, generally, produces some sort of separatistic attitudes. And then there is Tamas Guna. The knowledge in Tamas Guna is that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work as the all in all. Without knowledge of the truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness. The idea may be right, but the idea is taken as the all in all. Sanskrit is kritsnabhat, as if it was everything. So we were blessed yesterday by Tukaram Prabhu's exposition. I think it gave really a very stimulating presentation on how there are many different definitions, many different contexts, and so on. So somebody who is not able really to grasp the multiplicity of contexts may be a little bit influenced by this idea, narrow-minded idea, seeing Varnashram as only one way. So these are like, again, there's this young lady, she's seeing her face in the mirror, but according to the mirror curves, it gets distorted. She may see things exactly not as they are. So our conditionings makes us approach Varnashram, the whole topic, in different ways. And sometimes it's like this. Sorry. Sometimes you have these funny mirrors that distort the image, and people have fun looking themselves stretched or short like that. So there are many filters. So let's be aware, because if we are aware of our filters, then we can take steps to go beyond these filters. And then the last concept, paradox. A seemingly absurd or contradictory statement or proposition, which when investigated may prove to be well-founded or true. And yesterday, in different presentation, we had this revelation or exposition how Srila Prabhupada, our main source of reference, did say different things at different times or to different people. And so you have living in peaceful or congested places. Can you read me that?
Just have a cottage and have garden. You live very peacefully. Produce your own food, live peacefully. Fresh vegetable, fresh grains, fresh milk. Morning walk, Nairobi, 28 October 1975. My Guru Maharaj wanted us to open our centers in the most congested parts of major cities. We do not want a place in a quiet and solitary place. Letter to Jayapataka, 10th November.
So what's the conclusion? Peaceful life, countryside, idyllic, scenic, flowers, subject gardens, or the center of a city, in this case is London, traffic, pollution, noise, so many vibes, cramped quarters, and so on. So, obviously, Srila Prabhupada's vision includes both, according to different personalities. Our frontline preachers, our missionaries, you'll find them in the congested areas to influence us as many people as possible, and some maybe for their state in life or their, say, Varnashram position, it's better to do something in the countryside. Role of women. Again, we have a vast repertoire of quotes on that. To Chaya, Srila Prabhupada wrote, a woman's real business is to look after household affairs. Keep everything neat and clean, and if there is sufficient milk supply available, she should always be engaged in churning butter. I'm not sure why you laugh. Churning butter is good. Keeps lady healthy and strong. If it was good for Mother Yashoda, it's good also for us. But Srila Prabhupada also wrote, for instance, to Jai Govinda in 68, if a woman can lecture nicely and to the point, we should hear her carefully. We want so many preachers, both men and women. One more. Election New Vrindavan, 22nd June 1969. Here in this spot, New Vrindavan, the women's business will be to take care of the children, cooking, cleansing, and churning butter. Somehow when I say churning butter, people laugh. I'm not sure exactly why. Okay. So this is New Vrindavan. Of course, Srila Prabhupada had a specific project, a specific vision, and this was very much part of that vision. Now, this is 69, we're just 6-7 months talking about a different place in North America. Srila Prabhupada has something different to say. Oh, and by the way, those who have the knowledge of typing can help in typing also. Now, after churning all that butter, I mean, the fingers really go really quick. So to Krishna Devi, she was in Washington, D.C., Srila Prabhupada wrote, the boys and girls in our Krishna society should now give more attention for studying the books very attentively. I hope in Washington Center, you will ask all the boys and girls to follow this method. Because henceforward, we will have to face many scholars and philosophers. So, one letter stresses domestic roles, another letter stresses scholarship, debating with scholars. It's from the same period, same country, but a different place, a different project. One is the capital of the United States of America, the center of academia, the center of politics. The other is in New Vrindavan, it's a ruler, it's like a replica of Vrindavan, so on and so forth. So, obviously, if you happen to outreach, meet this lady, there's nothing wrong in telling her, please keep churning butter. Of course, you want to add the churned butter, then the butter you offer to Krishna, and so on and so forth. But if you meet this lady, she works so hard to become a lawyer, and if you just tell her you should churn butter, she may even start a court case against you. I don't know. So maybe it's better and better to engage her from the platform she's already accustomed to. And God knows we can use few lawyers. So, Varnashrams, this quotes, Varnashram system is for convenience sake in the material world. It has nothing to do with spiritual life. But, without Varnashram, it is a rascal society. That's all. It is not even human society. And these two statements are the same person speaking. Like that. So, what can we conclude? In short, bhakti does not depend on social arrangements. Anyone in the world, from any part of the world, age, gender, education, can chant Hare Krishna, can chant the holy name, partake in Sankirtan. At the same time, part of the mission is introducing progressive, civilized behavior in society. We are dealing with a broken society. We are dealing with a misguided society. And so they need some support, they need some discipline. I don't know if you can see, these are the four little symbols, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudras. They need corrective measure to heal the social body. And so on and so forth. We could go on and on. These are just some examples of apparently paradoxically, apparently contradictory statements. So we need samanvaya. We need reconciliation, harmonization. We need to harmonize seemingly incompatible statements. Let's take a look at this image. There is this solid cylinder, you call it cylinder? It's a cylinder. Now, if you put light from this side, you will project on the wall this size, a rectangle. And this is true. And if you put the light from this side on the wall, a circle, which is also true. But this is true. This is true, but this is truth. This is the complete idea, the complete, solid, the three-dimensional form of the object that we may see in a way, may see another way. Yesterday, Rajbhai Prabhu used the same analogy. Srila Prabhupada is so great that different people may tend to focus on one part of his teachings, on other parts, or this letter, that letter, this lecture, and so on and so forth. And so there is room for confusion. Another analogy we can use is the Atlantic Ocean. If I ask you, is the Atlantic Ocean hot or cold? Cold. Well, you're from India. Everywhere is cold for you. I mean, that's my realization. I live in India since 29 years, so that's my experience. Somebody said it depends. You take bath in Rio de Janeiro, it's warm. You take bath in Canada, you freeze. So you can't really say Atlantic Ocean is cold or warm. Srila Prabhupada is conservative, is a progressive, it's a radical, it's a traditionalist, it's a modernist, it's an innovator. These labels are too small. Just like saying the ocean is cold or hot, it's too small. So labeling Srila Prabhupada is a great acharya. But even greater than great acharya, he's the founder acharya of the golden age. There are many aspects, many ideas that right now, even after so many years he departed, we don't have really a clue how in the future will be manifested. He planted the seeds for trees we don't even have understanding of what's the shape of those trees. So again, we need the samanvaya approach, reconciling apparently contradictory ideas. So varnashram, paroxysms, emotions and clashes, parallaxes, different perspectives and disagreement, paradoxes, apparently contradictory statements. So, is there anything in which we can agree? I suggest that there are a few important elements on which we can, let me go so far as say, all agree. So, I'll ask you if anybody really strongly disagrees. But can we all agree that we want to see a strong Brahmacharya ashram? A lot of study, nice standards, nice engagement. Okay. Can we all agree that we want a very solid Grihastha ashram? Good parenting, charitable disposition, taking responsibility on different levels. We want to see strong vanaprasthas, people who retire from business or occupation, dedicate to cultivation, dedicate their lives to different services in wisdom. Can we agree we want a strong sannyas ashram? Strong spiritual leaders, detached, exemplary. And can we also agree that we would like that all devotees enthusiastically serve according to their nature, psychophysical nature? There will be intellectuals, priestly class, and there will be people who are more into administering, ruling, people were more into the productive side of things, making money, and people who assist all the others. And we would like to see them focus on Krishna, Daiva, the element, the divine element. We want people acting according to their nature, but in a purified way, in a purified consciousness, not just for their selfish purposes. Krishna conscious people. Can we generally agree on all this? Is there anybody who says, no, I strongly disagree. We don't want to see strong Brahmacharya, strong Grihastha, strong Brahmacharya, strong Sannyasi. We don't want to see everyone in society serving Krishna. Is anybody disagreeing? Okay. So, we can conclude that at least on this level, we all agree. In this group. Yes. So, in this group, we all agree we want to see that Varnashram, a Krishna conscious Varnashram, with solid ashrams and devotees engaged in Krishna consciousness. And so, we all agree that Srila Prabhupada said, you have to establish Varnashram. Yesterday, the chronology came up. This is 76, so quite late. So we agree that at least on a minimum, we want strong ashrams. And we want people to serve according to their nature, Krishna nature. But it seems that Srila Prabhupada had something else in mind. Also because, at least in terms of information, these aspects were more or less already established in ISKCON. In other words, people knew about what is a good Brahmachari, what is a good Grihastha, what is a good Vanaprastha, what is a good Sannyasi. People already knew that. 76, ISKCON, everybody was serving Krishna in ISKCON. So it seems that Srila Prabhupada meant something more. And Srila Prabhupada spoke about that. For instance, in the morning walk in Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada said, can you read me this?
Now you be trained up and revise the whole edition of the Western civilization especially in America. Then a new chapter will come in. This is the program. Therefore, Varnashram school required.
Thank you. As usual, Srila Prabhupada doesn't think small. He had, and of course, not the quotes, I'm just taking an excerpt, the quotes is much more broader, but he's talking about a whole edition, revise the whole edition of the Western civilization. Especially in America. Some of you have been to America. Is that country that puts number one for its code? If you're from India, it's 91. From UK, 44. If you're from America, it's number one. So especially there, he wanted to have a revolution. Another conversation, they talk about Renaissance, a cultural change on a very deep level. And what does it say? What's the instrument for that? It's written there. Hint, it's written there. Varnashram school. Okay, because, see, there's a very close connection between society and education. We don't have a flip chart. Maybe we can get a flip chart up in a few seconds. Sorry, I should have planned before. But society shapes education, and education shapes society. Any civilization in this world wants to establish or perpetuate certain values, certain principles, certain ideas, certain world views, how they see the world, how they see their place in the world. And they do efforts, they invest energy, time and money to give their children those values, principles and ideas. So, it's a cycle. As society changes, education changes. As education changes, society changes. Because education prepares certain type of citizens. They come out to fit in a certain system. And the system creates a certain education that to create those type of citizens they want. Simple concept. Okay? So Srila Prabhupada says, I'm paraphrasing, we want to create a revolution, and that revolution starts with education. Let's use an analogy. Let's take the Varnashram civilization as a tree. When it's manifested in the ashrams, in the varnas, Krishna-centric varnas, you have the tree, grown tree. So what would the root be? Education. Thank you. In the system of Varnashram Dharma, which is the beginning of actual human life, small boys, after 5 years of age, are sent to become brahmachari at the guru's ashram. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. You can't get more official than that. You can't get more public than that. You can't get more bona fide than that. Okay? So, you want a Varnashram civilization? You need to stress education of children. And what kind of education? Guru's ashram, Guru Kula. Varnashram school. And we see that Srila Prabhupada has consistently given this message in his books, in his lectures, in his letters, and of particular interest and particular importance in his practical application of the principles. If you know about the history of ISKCON, you know Srila Prabhupada did not just speak about Gurukul. He established Gurukul. First the famous Dallas Gurukul, then the Vrindavan Gurukul. He personally established, he put the, cornerstone. You still can see that cornerstone Srila Prabhupada put with his own hands, and so on. So, morning walk in Vrindavan, 14 March. And this is really the essence, the cream of a lot of other reference. From 5 to 10 years, Gurukula. And after 10 years, they should go to the Varnashram College. Srila Prabhupada said many, many, many things. This is, in one sense, is the essence. 5 to 10, 5 to 12, Gurukul, then Varnashram College. Now, there are obviously obstacles to this vision. And I'll quickly analyze two obstacles. There are many, but two obstacles. One is what I will define as we can call it the new convert syndrome. So new convert is a sociological term. It means a person, man or woman, who joins a religious group at a certain age. He or she is not born in that community, did not grow up in the movement, this movement or any other movement, but they join at a later date. So that's called new converts. So new converts, for instance, us, most of us, not all of us, but most of us, sociologically speaking, are new converts. We grew up in a certain environment, which was not Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Huh? Some of you came from a Hindu background, some of you may from a Christian background, some of you from a Jewish background. Some of you may even have a Vaishnava background, but was not Gaudiya Vaishnavism, was not Prabhupada Nugas. So for many of us, we have this experience of converting to become a follower of Srila Prabhupada. So this, what's a syndrome? The syndrome means that we may tend to observe that, okay, we are doing okay. Huh? We became vegetarian. We offer our food, and we wash our hands before eating, and then we chant Hare Krishna, we took initiation, and now we're doing okay. We're doing okay. Rajvihari Prabhu was not a Mongolarte this morning, but in general we are doing okay. And therefore, the mental trick is, it's okay if we don't have a Gurukul and a Varnashram college. It's okay. Because we went to schools in different parts of the world. South Africa, I believe. India, other parts of the world, and you know, maybe wasn't it the greatest of experience, okay? Maybe were the most terrible years of our lives, but okay, we survived. We survived, and we joined Haribo. Okay? So, it's okay not to have Gurukul. That's the new convert syndrome. You follow? This is the psychology that the new convert can have. Because we didn't have it, why our children should have it? Are they better than us? Let them also go to the karmic school. It builds character. So that's the first obstacle. The second obstacle is even more pragmatic. We had a huge failure in trying Gurukul. We really blew it big time. As a society, we are still traumatized. Not only the children of Gurukul are traumatized, we also are traumatized by the trauma of the children in Gurukul. It's like a self-perpetuating trauma. We made a lot of mistakes. Some children, due to our misapplication, started hating Krishna instead of loving Krishna. So we need a little context. 2016, we are celebrating our 50th anniversary. Haribo! Now, you may have heard many times, how long the movement is supposed to last? 10,000 years. We heard many times. Okay, 10,000 years. So 50 years, what's 50 years in 10,000 years? Huh? 100? No, is it 200? If you take 200, if you take 10,000 years, you divide into 200 parts, then you have 50 years. Okay? I'll give you an example. See, look at the ground. You see this woods sections? You see? You know how many are there from that fence beyond the door to the window behind Prabhupada? How many of this you can see? These sections of wood, you know how many of them? There are 183. I counted them. So if you take this 183, then you add 17, okay? So our whole ISKCON history compared to the 10,000 years is 's this much. That's our ISKCON history compared to the 10,000 years and add 17. Don't forget the 17. Okay? So, yes, we blew it. We failed miserably so. And this much. But that's a very little time. That's a very little time. And interestingly, we did not fail only in Gurukul. We had many failures. But there is a difference. In the other failures we encountered, we experienced as a society, we continue doing those things. We try to make it better, safer, but we continue. Gurukul, Varnashram school, we largely stopped. We kind of gave up. For instance, we had the trouble, you may have heard, those who are really not new came here for the first time today. Anybody here for the first time today? No, I didn't expect so. So, for instance, we had problems with gurus falling down. Have you heard that? Huh? Some of you may not even know the extent. Some of you may not even know the extent, the numbers, the people. Some of you, I'm pretty sure not all of you have heard all the names of the guru who fell down. Huh? How many of you never heard of a Maharam Prabhu? Many of you never heard, right? How many of you never heard of a Turiya Prabhu? See? Who never heard about the Vrikodara Prabhu? Never heard. He was a guru in the United States of America. So in other words, what I'm trying to get at is that we have a lot of history, we don't even know the details. What was the big problem? Okay? It has been a major problem. It affected majorly the fate of people. But still, we have gurus. Still, we enthusiastically take initiation. You have taken initiation. Many of you are meditating on taking initiation. We moved on because we understand having a guru is essential. Unless you become Ritvik, which is not recommended in the Varnashram Dharma. Marriages, so many divorces, okay? But people still enthusiastically get married. And I could go on and on and on. Huh? Temple properties, they got stolen. Huh? We still have open temples and so on and so forth. But Gurukul, Gurukul? No. So, I see there is a problem there. My question is, do we have the right to say to Srila Prabhupada, to the Bhagavatam, to say, okay, we tried, didn't work out, let's forget about it. Let's forget for the next 10,000 years. For the next 10,000 years, let's not talk about Gurukul anymore. Do we have that right? Who says, yes, we do have the right, we have enough. If you say, yes, let's forget about Gurukul. Who says, let's forget about Gurukul, raise your hand. Okay, maybe you didn't understand the question. So, if we agree on what we are talking about, we can conclude that we don't have the right. Because the Bhagavatam speaks about that. You all heard this verse, you know, Kumara Acharit Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavata. Right, Prahlad Maharaj? Huh? I've heard you this morning. I've heard you. Did you hear them? No. You didn't pay attention. I heard you. After Mongol Arti, all of you were singing. Jayo Prahlad Maharaj, Jayo Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Jayo Prahlad Maharaj. So you are followers of Prahlad Maharaj. So you have to apply the Gurukul system. Okay, it took some time, but you got it. Thank you. I was afraid it would fell really flat, but thank you. And you have to listen to the guru of Prahlad Maharaj. Who is the guru of Prahlad Maharaj? Okay. He says in the Bhagavatam, Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanto Guror Hitam. This is God's system of civilized education. This is what the Bhagavatam gives, the Mahajan gives, Srila Prabhupada gives. It's not my idea. It's not my invention. So, we need to carefully understand what Srila Prabhupada meant by Gurukul and what ingredients should be there for the Gurukul to work, and we'll take two elements. See, this pointer did not go to Gurukul. Okay. So the idea, remember the tree, the young children start at the root of the tree with education, and they come up in the Varnashram society, in the Varnashram civilization. So Srila Prabhupada said, in the same morning walk, teaching should be done by the sannyasis. Just like in missionary school, the fathers teaches. Principle, the best devotees should teach in Gurukul. The best devotees should deal with our children. Unfortunately, very often, not always, but very often we did the opposite. The worst devotees were sent to Gurukul. The ones who were dysfunctional, some serious character problem, they were useless at collecting money, then we became teacher in Gurukul. So, exactly the opposite. Imagine a Gurukul with His Holiness Romapad Maharaja's principle. Wouldn't you like to send your children there? So put the best dealing with the children. Second aspect, that the Jayatirtha 76, since yesterday we discussed about chronology, this is pretty late. All Grihasthas who are interested in doing business should do so in full swing. Let all the Grihasthas who wish to execute business full-fledgedly in the USA and in this way support Gurukul. The profits from the businesses should first go to support Gurukul, and balance may be given for the local temple's maintenance. I don't know if there are many temple presidents in the audience, but that's what Srila Prabhupada says. First Gurukul, the balance may be given to the temple. It's a conditional tentative. But we didn't do this. See, I'm a little familiar with ISKCON North America. I have the privilege to visit different temples. I know, you're good. When you put your mind in some project, you do it. There's so many things happening in the realm of building temples. Very recently, Central New Jersey. Who is from Central New Jersey? Okay, Central New Jersey, you bought this church. And you install Radha Krishna deity, then Tawako. Anybody from Tawako? Okay, Tawako. You have this big project, multi-million-dollar project, and you have this temple extension in Naperville near Chicago. Anybody from Naperville? Oh yeah, and like that, and so on and so forth. Baltimore. Baltimore is a very small community. It's a small congregation, but they just finished. Building a temple. Spend, I don't know exactly, but in the millions of dollars. Okay? So when we are interested in something, we find the money for it. And we find the money to have people serving in those projects. Baltimore, I just learned that they spend $100,000 per year just for the maintenance of the pujaris. And this besides the food and other aspects. So you are good when you have something you love, when you're something that you see as important in the mission, you find the funds. I'm sure just in this room, there's money for 10 Gurukulas right here. I'm not going to pass the hat around or anything, so relax. But I'm just saying, it's not a question of money. And many of you are intelligent, educated. So, again, this concept, Srila Prabhupada, when he spoke about Gurukul, Varnashram College, one roots very deep. so that our children can take shelter in those roots. Huh? For years, spend years in Gurukul, spend more years in the Varnashram college, learn the values, learn the skills, learn the principles, learn the behavior, create the revolution. Then move on in the four varnas, four ashram, according to their nature, their inclination, like that. But obviously, without the roots, if the roots are not there, or if the roots are weak, flimsy, the whole varnashram construct is dead. Without Gurukul, varnashram is a hobby. Sattvic hobby, but it's not the building of a civilization. And so, again, without the education, varnashram doesn't have any chance. Or we get stuck in this new convert syndrome, we come to some different backgrounds, we work on ourselves, but we send our children to the schools, outside school, and then we try somehow, a little Sunday school here, a little Dhammahatta there, a little this and a little that, Maharaj, please give blessing. Maharaj will give blessing! But, you know, you're giving all week another type of blessings in the karmic schools. I mean, look, if you are a parent or you are an ISKCON leader, my goal is not to make you feel guilty. My goal is to make you feel very guilty. Gurukul inspection, Vrindavan. There must be 500 students. Now your business is bring students. Before going to the foreign countries, I had a very bad experience. I asked so many men to give students, Vedic students, that they replied, Swamiji, we have to earn money. Nobody wants that the children should be honest. Brahmana, Brahmachari, nobody wants. Srimad Bhagavatam. Formerly, of course, the members of the higher castes, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishya, everyone but the Shudras, were trained in the Gurukul. There have consequently been many instances in which great kings and emperors have given up household life. They could give up all their positions because they were trained early as Brahmachari. In other words, Gurukula is the system that goes beyond just, okay, become a good grihastha or be functional in earning for your money, for your family. It goes beyond. It's a holistic education for all life. So the people, when it's time, they will be able to renounce because they lived as brahmacharis. Sometimes, see, when we hear brahmachari, what's the image comes to mind? One of these young men clad in saffron, right? I mean, you think brahmachari, you think of one of these specimens. Right? We should actually think of small children. Because that's traditionally what brahmachari means. They're also brahmachari. But again, traditionally, brahmachari, it's a small children. Culturally amputated our movement because we neglected the root, the cultural root. Panda lecture, please notice. There's a little section here. What is the alternative to Gurukul? Because you may say, well, Gurukul maybe not. But what's the alternative? Okay. This is a Panda lecture in Delhi, the capital of India. Srila Prabhupada was very outspoken. He said, don't spoil your children. The modern educational system without any knowledge of Bhagavan, I may tell you frankly, Not only in India, everywhere, they're practically slaughterhouses. Room conversation in London. I've seen intelligent boys. They go to school and he's spoiled. Yes, spoiled. He learns how to smoke, how to have sex, how to talk nonsense, how to use knife, how to fight, these things. Simply slaughterhouse. This so-called school is called slaughterhouse. Yes, slaughterhouse. So yesterday we heard about many beautiful writing about protecting cows, saving them from the slaughterhouse. What about protecting children and not sending them to the slaughterhouse? I'm not going to explain all this. But the essence, and I'll give you a link where you can find a video. The essence is that modern education, this is very systematically explained, historically and so on, psychologically. Basically, the essence is education, modern education, is modeled on the interest of industrialization and in the image of it. It's an 11-minute YouTube video, very informative. Yeah, industrialization. Model on the interest of industrialization and in the image of it. This gentleman explains how in Great Britain the Industrial Revolution created what we know as modern education, which of course was exported massively into India, and it based on the same principles. Creating people who fit in that system. Some of you got the PDF of this presentation, or some of you will get it. By the way, if you want the PowerPoint for your personal use, you contact me after with a pen drive or something. So this is the YouTube video. In other words, I'm sharing this also because it's not just the Hare Krishnas that think like that, or rather they should think like that. In terms of education, we are falling behind, even about compared to other materialists, how they see the modern education, like that. Srila Prabhupada lecture, 76, there is no education, actually. The modern education means simply a craftsmanship. You learn a skill so you can get a job. That's basically it. And children get boxed in. They're taught that we are monkeys who lost the tail. They taught that, this universe is an accident. And Malecha. By Malecha, I mean everything Malecha. Malecha history, Malecha geography, Malecha mathematics. Everything Malecha. Malecha diet, Malecha teachers. Everything Malecha. You laugh. I don't know what's there to laugh, but because you remember your school days. Besides things which pervade environment, sex, promiscuity, what they call sometimes sex education, which in many cases they teach perversity as sex education. Drugs, and so on and so forth. This is an Indian cartoon. They see people coming in here, they go get out here, and all the intelligence, discipline, and creativity gets separated. So even karmis know that. Letter to Mohananda. You get the idea. I could go on all day, but I don't have all day. I have 7 minutes. A few key quotes, and I'll bring it to a close. If you become headmaster of the Gurukul, that is more important than going to South America. This is the most important post in pushing on this movement. Letter to Stoka Krishna. I consider this Gurukul school to be one of our most important aspects of this movement, and it should be given all serious consideration by the members. And again, please, here we are not discussing the Sanskrit, the Sandhi of the words, which has its own place. We need to have a very strong understanding, theologically, philosophically. We are seeing what Srila Prabhupada said and did. These are real people. I didn't Photoshop them in. Srila Prabhupada spent so many hours talking about this. Letter to Dayananda, Nandarani. Gurukul is our most important project. I'm not qualified to comment on this. Let's close with the Bhagavatam. Again, official, public, solemn, important, foundational. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the Gurukul plays an extremely important part in our activities. Because right from childhood, the boys at the Gurukul are instructed about Krishna consciousness. Thus they become steady within the course of their hearts. Okay. So, we have gathered here, inspired by His Holiness Rama Pada Maharaj, for this convention, symposium, exploring Varnashram. I would really like that in the near future you'll have another convention exploring Gurukul and Varnashram College. The end. Thank you very much. Thank you. We have 5 minutes. Can I ask a raise of hand? How many of you would like to ask a question? How many of you? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We'd probably not be able. We have a question and answer session tomorrow or something? Or
and I would think that it would be nice if there's question and answer tomorrow in the afternoon. Of course, a number of devotees have to travel at some distance, and so they're traditionally not here for the question and answer session. But that's another option. And my question was a suggestion, which is, could you perhaps share how you would like to conduct the discussion, the breakout group? Because there's 3 hours this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Where, you know, you're the facilitator of one of those breakout groups. And what do you envision how that time could be used? Of course, you just ask everybody how they like to use it. That's one way to do it. But that, you know, that's an opportunity for questions.
Okay. So, Braj Bihari Prabhu mentioned it's a bit high. Subha Prabhu, it's a bit high maybe. Rajivari Prabhu was saying that one idea would be that people go in different groups according to the topic, to the presentation. That was the idea?
Huh? But so they can also move from group to group if
they can
wish.
Also move in different groups. That's one way. And then we see what's the group interest, inclination, direction.
And it may flow as the 3 hours flows.
We'll see how it goes.
May move here and there.
We'll see how it goes, yes.
That's, I think, how you're going to best utilize.
And that would be
this afternoon, 3 to 6.
3 to 6. By the way, you know, Maharaj, you were here, but yesterday at 3 o'clock, not many people were here. So if you want to be part of this dialogue, starts at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. That's why I mentioned it just before your class.
Okay. And that was your question.
That was it.
Okay, so
I can. I mean, there's so much on this topic. The Gurukula, you've mentioned education. as the root. Do you, in your study, do you see that education can take many different forms? When we speak of Gurukula, are we speaking only one form? Is ashram a requirement? Because I think to a large extent, the enthusiasm in our movement is education, yes, but ashram, not so.
That's why I said that we should have at least one symposium, one conference discussing the application of the idea. I believe there should be no doubt that this was Srila Prabhupada's overall strategy. We messed it up. It's true. I mean, we made a lot of mistakes. But I don't think there should be any doubt that this is what Srila Prabhupada wanted for our children. I believe our children are too precious to be given to the materialists to educate. Otherwise, I don't think the famous demigods that will take place, that they will wait until we get the Gurukul together. So if you have a hope to have a demigod as a child, prepare the ground. So in 1 minute, I can tell you, yes, Pancharatna Prabhu. Of course, we worked together in Mayapur strategic planning. We did explore different statements. Srila Prabhupada had different, we could say, schools approach. Srila Prabhupada spoke about Gurukul, Varnashram College. He said he wanted in Mayapur also something where the gentlemen of Calcutta would send their children, and with the idea that would not become ashramite full-time, they would go back in the world. You can see that all successful religious groups spend a lot of time and energy in creating schools, because they know education creates society. The other world headquarters of the Seventh-day Adventists, which is the eighth largest Christian denomination in the world. They have, which is actually near Washington, D.C., they have 8,900 schools. We all know the Christians, how they went all over the world creating schools and colleges for people to be indoctrinated in their worldview. So, yes, we should have schools for our children. Ashram, not ashram, ashram till 5 p.m., they go home. We can discuss that. It's negotiable. We should have schools for our children. And we should have schools that attract outside people who want to build a character, they want to build that illumination. So our time is up. I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.